a key intention of intentionality is choose love over fear, because it is a conscious decision. You can't be in love and fear at the same place. And we need to be doing that more in the corporate world as well. And love is not a soft feeling. Love is the most active, powerful, strong feeling we can ever feel. And when we get into that place, we get energized and we can able to go do so much more. And just straight productivity. Like I talk about high performing teams. That's what I talk about for big corporates. None of my stuff is like out there spiritual. It's true that you can have both. You can look after your people and create a good environment and make more money. That's the amazing thing. You can do this. And that's what I'm sharing is if you apply these mechanisms instead of operating from the ego, you will be super successful.
I believe that love is all around us. Love is everything and everywhere. I am love. You are love. We are all love. In our divinity, in our soul, in the truest and simplest form of our being, we are pure, unconditional love. Love is the answer to everything. Every week in this podcast, we're talking to incredible and beautiful people who will be sharing their insights and perspectives to help you find more peace, to help you come from a place of love more often, to help encourage you to be kinder to yourself and others, to help you create more happiness in your life, to help you feel more oneness with others, and to help you connect to your higher self. My name is Justin Court. Together, we will help shift the collective consciousness of the planet to be more loving, kind, peaceful, happy, empathetic, understanding, and accepting. This can only be achieved together. It starts with each and every one of us. We are one, and it's time we start acting that way. I am so, so grateful that you're here. I love you, I support you, and I'm here for you. Let's together create more love in this world. Let's do this. As the world's leading expert on intentionality, today's guest will help you unlock the power of it. Finian Kelly helps people find their way in life by guiding them back to love. Finian guides people to clarity on what they truly want. He creates experiences that make people truly feel something. He guides people to transformation and a life of intentionality. And he teaches people how to recode their minds. He's also the author of his brand new book, Intentionality, a groundbreaking guide to breath, consciousness, and radical self-transformation. We cover a lot in this conversation. Here are a few of the topics. Understanding whether your drive is coming from a love-based or fear-based paradigm. Discovering what you really want and not following the story or program of what you've been told you want. He provides examples and guides us in preventative and in-the-moment breathwork. It is so powerful. Reprogramming our subconscious minds and helping people be aware of their subconscious programming and then helping them recode it. How time doesn't really heal all. And to savor the dark moments because there's massive beauty and growth in them.
Finian, man, excited to see you. Excited to be here with you. How are you doing today? How are you feeling?
I'm looking forward to this conversation, Justin, because you're a fellow lover of love. And if it at my essence, that's really who I am. So let's drop in and let's get connected.
Amazing. That's awesome. Obviously, I want to talk to you a lot today about intentionality. I know that is a main focus of yours. How did you get into this path, into this way, intentionality? Was it something that like earlier in life you weren't intentional at all? And then you had these moments that switched you over. Were you always intentional? It's like, how did you really get on this journey and path to what you're doing every single day?
Yeah. So I love your awareness of, was I not intentional before? And it's one of those conversations where it's both. So in some regards, I was very intentional. However, I didn't know that there was forces working against myself. So from a very young age, I learned that I needed to be independent in life. And there was just a few situations in my family where my perspective at the time was, well, I wasn't safe and loved and supported, all my stories, but it created a paradigm where I had to go forward and go, all right, how am I going to make this happen? I can't rely on anyone else. So I was always visioning, planning, strategizing, and it was brilliant. It was a superpower of mine, and it actually contributed to a lot of my success. I was the youngest person to do everything, and I achieved my vision for my life by age 30. And suddenly at that point, the illusion came crashing down. I thought all of those achievements would suddenly make me feel perhaps safe and worthy and loved. And in fact, it actually did the opposite, because I couldn't trick myself anymore about that maybe one time in the future, the great when I get this, maybe I'll feel better, because I actually achieved the when. And suddenly at that point, the universe almost went, all right, we're going to give you a couple of little signs. You're going to pay attention to perhaps go inward and explore. But I didn't pay full attention until effectively my life completely exploded with loss of financial resources, identity, and ultimately my wife, who I deeply loved. And so that was a very confronting period of my time. And when I reflected in that moment about, all right, how do I get through this? I looked at the one path of the way that I'd pretty much done everything, which was like, let's just focus on the vision, create a story, get excited about that, and go down a particular path. And I call that the path of fear, really, because what I didn't realize was I was in a survival-based program for a really long time. And when I looked at that path, I actually realized it wasn't even an option anymore, because I couldn't trick myself anymore. I had to like face it and go, that's not going to work, because I've played that out so many times. So what's another path? And I started looking at all the options, and I went, well, I suppose I'm the common denominator here. I'm the one who has been consistently in my life the whole time. I have a belief that I'm the creator of my own reality. So if I truly believe that, that means that I have to be responsible for what's happened. And I started looking back and I went, well, what are all the things that could have contributed to this moment? Just looking at my life, really facing them, being honest. And I started reflecting, well, you know, I've been pretty disillusioned with my family since I was 10. I haven't spoken to my father for 18 years. I've had resentment against my mum. I've had body complexes. I've done all these different things. And I started realizing maybe that has contributed to my current space. So in that place, I just went, all right, path of fear, which was the old way, path of love, which was going, all right, I'm going to get to know myself. I'm going to explore myself. In the short term, that seemed super confronting, like really challenging, having to face and take responsibility where I felt like this had happened to me. I had to like really go inward, but I played out the scenario, well, maybe if I do this, maybe I'll like myself. Maybe I'll have better connections. Maybe I'll fall in love again. Maybe I could be a dad again. So the reward was enough to help me navigate the challenge in the short term. Doesn't mean it was easy at all. And that's when I really uncovered about that it doesn't matter how much you want something in your conscious mind. If your subconscious has faulty coding, false narratives, paradigms, it's always going to win because it's a supercomputer. It's a quantum computer. So I was effectively fighting against myself, and I was tired of fighting against myself. So I went, okay, I'm going to go and explore myself and really understand how the mind works.
Wow. What was like your kind of envision of life that you hit by 30? What was that?
Yeah. So it was, successful entrepreneur. It was like we wanted to sell one company, become financially independent, move overseas, ski a lot of days. And we did it. We actually sold two companies, moved over to Beaver Creek, skiing 100 days a year, married, flexibility, financial independence, brand recognition. I just finished a documentary with National Geographic. Like you name it, I'd really felt proud of my achievements. And I still am of those achievements. However, and it's not that those achievements were wrong. It was where the drive was coming from. It was And this is something I really want to make it clear, is that some people then relegate, like they get rid of the material world and they shun money and they shun recognition and everything like that. And so that's not the answer. Like, it's a human experience. But the key is to go, where is this drive coming from? Is it coming from a fear-based paradigm or a love-based paradigm? And there's a lot of people out there who are doing altruistic things and they're talking about, we're doing all this impact, saving the world. But if you actually get to the core, it's coming from an ego-based place. It's coming from a fear-based place. And then actually, by the nature of our vibrational frequency, in some regards, when we think we're doing well, we're actually harming. So that's why I always say, you've got to come back and make sure that you are whole, that you are in a loving place before you go out and impact the world.
Is that something you help people with now, understanding where their drive is coming from, so they can understand what the core is?
It's a huge one. Yeah, there's... One of the questions that gets thrown out all the time is like, what do you want? What do you want to be? Like, that's from a young age, coding. Rather than just being present and going, are you loving being a child? Everyone's always like, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be? And that basically constantly keeps putting us into the future state. The challenge with it, the question is, one, it's intimidating. A lot of people don't know. And I think that's beautiful as well. Like, it's okay just to be, I want to be a great human being in this present moment. But the second, the more dangerous is people think they know what they want, but it's not actually what they want. It's a conditioned set of coding that's been coming from them from childhood or through the media or through education or religion. And they go on this whole life plan without really coming aware of, like, is this really yours or is this someone else's? So I challenge everyone and go, okay, I'm happy to support whatever you want, but is this really what you want? And ultimately what drives that are our beliefs. And our beliefs, by the nature, are just perspectives, they're stories. And I always share with people, I love the diversity of beliefs. I think that's the beautiful thing about this world, is I love every different person's unique approach to life, and I want to learn from them. However, what I do care about is, are your beliefs serving you and are they hurting other people? And if they are, if they're not serving you and they're hurting you and hurting other people, why stay connected to that belief? Like, beliefs are just stories. Like, choose another belief. And that's something which I don't think people realize, that they have choice, that they can change their beliefs.
Right. Belief is just like a thought you have over and over and over again that you just eventually believe.
Totally.
Mm. It's funny, man. We get caught in that. Growing up, it was like, I lived in New York, about an hour north of the city. And the whole idea is like, all right, move to New York City, get this great job, making over 100K a year, going out and, you know, meeting with clients and drinking. And that's what I thought I wanted, because that's what was kind of told to me, was like this cool thing, you know, living in New York City. And New York City is amazing. I had a great time there. Yeah. But it was that kind of predicated thought of that you receive from the media, from... It's like you're receiving it too from like shells of people who think that's what you would want too, or they think that's what they want. And then they kind of impose those beliefs and those thoughts on you too. And then again, I had a great time living in New York City, but it was very empty. Like, I did those things. I made good money. I would go out and meet clients at night and drink. I was drinking like 3, 4, 5 nights a week. And then you kind of take a step back and you realize, is this even ever what I actually did want? Or is it just what I've been told?
Yeah. And that's really challenging, is in those moments where you're like, what? Like, this isn't what I wanted. And it's almost like you feel like you've been completely lied to. And then it's confronting, because you like, do you want to face that? Or do you want to just ignore it and keep going? And I think most people just ignore it. It's too hard to face. And they just rationalize and they justify, because the mind is very good at that. It's very good at tricking ourselves and going, yes, this is exactly what you want. And it's amazing. It's amazing seeing how people's blind spots, like, I do a lot of work with incredible entrepreneur groups like Young YPO and EO, Young Presidents Organization, Entrepreneurs Organization. So and people become very vulnerable, and I get behind the scenes of everything. The darkest, deepest stories I hear. I'm like a vault of information. And you'll see these paradoxes where there will be parents who are so frustrated that their older kids want to be like an art major, or they want to go travel the world or go ski and be a ski guide. And they know them because they've got this story that, well, to be successful, you've got to go do a finance major, or you've got to be on this path. But then on one side, they've been going through their own experience saying they're not happy, and they're challenged and they can't see that they're doing the exact same thing for their children. And you bring this to the awareness and you go, so let me ask you this. Would you rather them be successful but miserable and earning less money, or would you rather them doing this and loving life? And it short circuits their mind because they want to be able to say, I want them to be happy, but actually their core belief, it outweighs. Their core belief is that they have to do this in order to be successful and be surviving in life. And that's when it's really confronting. So we're just trying to bring that awareness to people.
That's right. Like, your story is very powerful too, because you had all the success. You did everything you wanted to do. And that's what we all think, right? Once we think, when I get to this place, then I'll be happy. Then I'll be fulfilled. Then I'll feel great. And then when we get there, we can, like in your situation where you were coming from that place of fear instead of love, when you eventually get to this place, you're still feeling that fear. You're not feeling that love. You're still feeling that emptiness. And it's important for like stories like this to always be told so that people can try to get ahead of it or think about that thing first or have the awareness of this thing before they actually get there. And then they're like, shit, what just happened? I'm here now. I thought I'd be happy and I'm more miserable than I ever was before.
Yeah, thank you for recognizing that. That's why I really went on this journey of, you said, how do I get into intentionality? It was my own need. It was, I played out the logical, analytical, the scientific approach to life, because that's what I was. I was a very maths and physics-based person, and it left me feeling lacking. And then I went through my own transformation, and people started asking me, what did you do? How did you do this? And I realized that there's a few ways to wake up in life, and one way is through trauma. And that's what I went through. However, it's brutal. It's super confronting, and not everyone has the agency to move through it, and they can get stuck in the limbo period of their life, or they can actually let go of their life. I definitely have witnessed that myself, people questioning life. So I wanted to share this and go, yes, that's one way, but you also can just do it through paying attention, being aware, observing yourself, seeing what different situations are doing for you. And that's a lot more freeing and a lot more liberating. The other thing which I want to touch on about my life, the life I created, it actually, if you look at my life now, it is very similar. This is the thing that people can't work out. I'm very similar. I've moved from Beaver Creek to Aspen. I ski a lot of days of the year. I'm with a partner of my love. All of these things, I actually had the attributes of what I wanted in my life. The challenge was, because it was from a survival fear-based program, I didn't believe that I could trust it. I didn't feel safe in it. I didn't have worthiness. So I actually sabotaged what I wanted. And it's really interesting. My book has been a really great healing tool for a lot of people. And I actually caught up with my ex-wife recently. You said to have a conversation. So I'm being very transparent. And we had a long conversation and I shared my book, and it's been helping her go through a perspective of the experience. And it was such an awareness of going, wow, like, we actually did have everything we wanted. We just didn't know how to, we didn't know how to navigate it. We didn't have a hammer, and we both sabotaged each other. But if we had actually had the tools that we have now, we may have lasted. Now, I'm not regretting that. I'm not sad about it. There's a little bit of sadness. I honor that. But I'm also very happy with my current life. But there was another parallel life where that could have worked. And it would have been incredible if we had known what was actually happening below the surface and sabotaging us.
So interesting. That's so wild because, wow, depending on just who we are and where we're at, like you just said, you can have all those things and those goals and those dreams, but depending on where you're at internally and that internal dialogue and where it's coming from, it can be a very different reality than you experiencing those same outward things, but coming from it from a different place on the inside.
Totally. Yeah. And people think that they, you know, the normal story is like, I went on the materialism route and then I like realized it wasn't the answer and I gave it all up and I changed my lifestyle. I wasn't caught up in the materialism. That wasn't me at all. I was caught up in freedom and creating something about myself, and I wanted a particular lifestyle, but it wasn't like I was an egoic person about money. That's something which sometimes gets misrepresented in my story. My life is pretty much the same as it was then. But my experience of my life is so much different. Rather than wondering like, oh, how do I make this better? I'm like, oh, this is pretty amazing right now. And I love money. I love making it. I love being able to do things with it and giving flexibility and showing people that it's not a negative thing. It's a part of life. So I don't think that gets shared enough. It's not about letting go. You can actually have it all. That's what I'm really trying to say, is that you can have the material realm, but you can only fully enjoy that if you start from your feelings-based approach inside first. Then you actually get to experience it more. And one of my sayings when I used to be a money expert for a long time was that money is a magnifier. So whatever you are, if you're an asshole, you get more money, you're going to be a bigger asshole. However, I can witness it in Aspen. There's a lot of incredibly kind, loving billionaires with conscious families because they were good people to start with.
Yes, that's the example. Instead of thinking that money is the root of all evil, you have to be terrible to have money. That's like a beautiful way to look at that. It just magnifies who you already were. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and your story too is like a great example of, it's never about what's happening on the outside. It's about who we are on the inside. Because if you can have the same reality on the outside, but experience it in totally different ways, what is that common denominator? It's how you are and who you are on the inside.
Yeah. And we witness that with families. I've definitely experienced that with my siblings. We've interpreted experiences very differently, depending on our age, our conscious levels, where we were at the time. And that's where facts are so dangerous. People get so caught up with facts. It's one of the most dangerous things that parents go, that wasn't the way it was. And I went, yeah, but you're missing the point. The way it was how they perceived it. That's what really matters. And the more you keep focusing on the facts, the more you're just disconnecting yourself from your children. Just acknowledge, oh, I can see how that could be interpreted that way. That must have been super confronting, super challenging for you. And then that creates connection because we help people feel seen, and that's ultimately what we want to feel.
Right. It's like, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. It's honoring who they are, their experience, how they felt, not just telling them to shut up about it. That's not the way that it was. And you're crazy and you're misinterpreting this whole situation wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
That's like, I have two children now, just over two in about almost 8 months.
Awesome.
And that's something, I appreciate that perspective. That's something I need to absolutely keep in mind and like honor them and honor their perspective.
Yeah.
Because it's valid.
Yeah, I talk about two things, like two behaviors. Forgiveness sets you free. It's not really about the other person. It's about yourself. So keep forgiving yourself. Of course, you're going to make mistakes. Like, you're a new dad. Like, of course. Like, but you're coming from a good, kind place, forgiving you, just being kind to yourself. But acknowledgement is a gift to someone else. The other person has already felt it. If you're thinking it, by nature, because our subconscious is connected, they're feeling it. So the better thing to do is just go, hey, I've got a story that this is affecting you or this happened. And they might go, oh, actually, I haven't been thinking that. However, as you say it right now, thank you. Like, thank you. That means a lot. Or they're like, yes, that's exactly what's been going on. And all it does is it shows you're human. And we are coding our children no matter what. That's just happening. And there's no perfect parent. So, but the key is to help bring awareness that you aren't perfect. That's actually one of the challenges to kids, is we think our parents are perfect and then we get misled and then we're confused. So actually letting them know, oh yeah, I make mistakes all the time. However, we can learn from these and we can grow. And it doesn't mean that we've written this period of our life off. Like, here's another opportunity to come back together. And that's, I truly believe that is the foundation of conscious parenting. It's just acknowledging your humanness.
Yes. It's like vulnerability and transparency are such beautiful forms of love.
Mm-hmm.
When we can just acknowledge who we were in a situation and just be transparent about our actions and not try to run and hide from them and like play the victim card of feeling attacked. It's like your kid says, well, this experience made me feel this way. It's like, I can see the instant feeling of attack and that victim mentality of like, no, that's not how it went. Like, you're making things up, but it's like, taking a step back from that, releasing from that subconscious thought that is doing that programming that just takes over in that moment, that subconscious mind that just goes on the attack very quickly, the ego so that you're not attacked, but just being transparent. And that's just, it's, like Finian, as we talk about this, I'm like foreseeing examples of this in the future. And I'm seeing the two different paths that it can go. The path of me denying my child's feelings and their perspective, and then the path of honoring it and acknowledging it and being transparent with who I was in the moment and just being honest about my own flaws. And that second path, my heart opens, I feel lighter, I feel like a higher vibration, and like just knowing so deep down that that is how I want to show up all the time for my children.
Definitely. And it's why the breath is so important. There's something I talk about, which is we need to have circuit breakers. In our homes, we have an electrical circuit and energy comes from the outside world and we can't control the surges of the energy. Sometimes a surge comes through. And it used to be that a surge would come through and then it would blow the circuit, the light bulbs would be blown and we have no power. But then we invented circuit breakers where it anticipated, it felt the sense, oh, this is a bit of a danger, too much energy coming through. Let's activate the circuit breaker, protect the circuit. And then once we feel ready, we can turn back the circuit breaker on, let the energy flow through and everything's working well. And I started reflecting about the language that we often use is, whoa, I lost myself. I short-circuited myself. And what I started realizing, we're doing that to ourselves sometimes. Energy comes from the outside world. It triggers a subconscious program of lack or not enough. And then we criticize, the ego grabs onto it. And before we know it, we've completely disconnected ourselves to our higher self, like our true nature. And we just become this egoic entity. And we can do a lot of destruction in that time, like automatic behaviors happening. And one day we wake up and go, whoa, what just happened? Like I just lost myself for a few days. So instead, what if we activated circuit breakers where we felt that energy and we felt the program about to be activated and we just activated a circuit breaker? And basically what it enables us to do is suspend in that place and then become the observer and go, what is about to happen? And God, universe, source gave us everything we need. We don't need anything from the external. So the breath is there. The breath is that bridge. When we start activating the breath, we can literally observe and go, oh, this subconscious program is about to activate. Like you said, I know where that path goes. That path does not go where I want. Instead, what is I want to feel? What's a path I could do? Maybe I need to take space, or maybe I could actually see this for what it is and laugh and then do something different. And that's the incredible thing about the breath. And I talk about tons of different circuit breakers, which you can program. This is a funny thing. At the start, it's very mechanical. But by nature, if you do something repetitively, the subconscious then creates a program for that. So then I now have it that anytime I get stimulated, I don't have to think about the circuit breaker. The circuit breaker activates for me as a habitual program, and then I can help myself recoding. So it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's really amazing. So it's rare for me to get triggered, but there still are programs down there, and they get activated sometimes. So it's a continuous process.
Dude, this is like, this is so divine right now. I'm going to explain in a moment, like what I'm talking about. It's like life is perfect in ways. And the fact that we're having this exact conversation right now is like blowing my mind, but also it makes perfect sense. So I've said this on the podcast before, but like Finian, when I was younger, I used to have an insane temper, crazy, like more than anyone I ever knew. And I always say this, I don't ever say that to embellish the story. It's just because it's true. I didn't know anyone had a crazier temper than me. And as life has gone on, as I've come more into spirituality, more into just love, that temper started to just fade away. I knew it didn't serve me. I knew nothing good came from it. I was able to take a moment, feel that subconscious thought, observe it, and then change the way that I wanted to act and take that next step moving forward. And then so it was like 7-8 years, literally, of like never having that rush of emotion built to the top that I termed as a temper. Yeah. And then we had our second child. And, the beautiful thing about being a parent is that your children will bring up into the surface all your triggers, all the things that are unhealed within you still. It's so beautiful that they have the ability to do that for us. But now with my son, like my daughter, like didn't cry very often, ate really well, slept really well. She was amazing. And our son, who's almost 8 months, he's amazing too. He's smiling all the time. But like any baby, he has these moments where will scream, cry for 30 minutes or an hour or whatever it may be. And I was talking to friends the other day about this. And I'm feeling that, Finian, that rise of energy, that rise of emotion, that rise of chaos in me happening again. But I'm not able initially, like I've been doing a lot, is to pull myself out and be the observer. I'm getting sucked into it.
Yeah.
And I was talking to my friends the other day, and I was like, I need some sort of a tool that I can utilize that can help me jump out of that subconscious programming and come back into the moment, observe it, and then again, step in a different way. Because it's fun. Like the other day, I had a full day of work. I had the kids after, and then I was going to the store, and I felt this like rush of the anxiety too. And I literally threw on like old school hip hop that I used to listen to when I was like 17. And I went hard in the car, and it helped me like release all of this. But it's like, every time I'm feeling this rush, I can't go listen to gangster rap and have these explosions in my car. So it's like, that's what I mean. It's so perfect that you're talking about this breath work to help us. Can you give a breath work tool or just something that you use anyone listening, but so that I can also use in these moments to give myself that break so I can take that step back?
Definitely. And I so appreciate your personal story because it just makes it so much more tangible. And it's that duality. Of course you love your child, and at the same time, it can irritate you. And we often get that the worst side of ourselves. And a big part of it is that we have a tank that is able to fill up a certain amount of stress. And little things can send us off when that tank is full. So think of the drinking bird, the drinking bird, which keeps going down and just keeps getting drinks and it's bouncing, but then eventually it fills up too much and it just goes down. So the key is you got to make sure you're releasing the water as you go. So this is similar to stress. Once you're at that point, you're just getting, anything can touch you and you just blow up. So the first is making sure that we do some preventative work to release that. Because it's all well and good to have these things in the moment. However, if you're so full, it's very hard to activate it. So we've got to like release the tank a little bit. So there's a couple of different ways we can do that. A preventative breath that I love to do, and if you have like 15 minutes, is a practice, because what we're trying to do is be present with the experience, is a connected breath in and out through our nose. And it's inactive and we're using a diaphragm. No pause between the inhale and exhale. It's just happening. This is if you've got meditating, this is a great breath to start your meditation journey. You're going to be present. You're going to be working through energy. You're going to be releasing. And then you finish the 15 minutes and you drop into a beautiful state of meditation. There's a book called The Presence Process, which talks about this, that's sort of one preventative. Then there's another breath, which is called the physiological sigh. Andrew Huberman's talking a lot about this right now. And this breath has been proven to release stress in the moment, but most importantly, also preventative for the next 24 hours. And they found if you do 5 minutes of this breath, you're going to be releasing stress so much more. So you can do it in the stressful moment, or you can do it in the morning going, I'm probably going to have a stressful day. Let's release that tank a little bit. I'm going to do 5 minutes of that. So this breath is two inhales through the nose. So one full one, and then a pause, and then a second sharp inhale through the nose, and then a long exhale through the mouth. As we're looking out with our eyes, so we're looking out into the expansiveness. Do you want to try that? You want to do one of them with me now? So letting all the air out and then inhale through the nose, a full inhale, pause, and then a second inhale, and then long exhale through the mouth. What happened for you just on one breath?
It was like really on that exhale and just like the open eyes, just looking out into the space. I just already felt just calmer, honestly. Yeah. I just felt calmer and like more present.
Yeah. It's a combination of the two inhales, we activate more oxygen. So we bring more oxygen, and oxygen is the secret for energy. Oxygen plus glucose gives energy. The reason why we're stressed is because we have low energy. So we're getting a boost there. Then when we breathe out, we activate the parasympathetic nervous system. So we naturally get relaxed. And then also when we're staring out into the world, it has this unique effect where it just brings perspective and it reminds us that like we're not in our head, we're out there. And you see this when kids get stunned, like when, you know, when someone gets shocked, they look dazed and they look out there, it's a protective mechanism. So then they were like, oh, I'm alive. I'm not in that incident right now. So you could just do that every time your child's activating, you just do one of them. But also the 5 minutes of preparation, that's like the wizardry. So I just go, if you're going to do one thing, like that's more powerful than meditating for 5 minutes, because effectively it drops you in a more present moment and also helps you release from your thoughts as well. So that's one. Another awesome one, and it works so well with screaming people, including kids, also when someone's yelling at you. So what we're doing here is we're activating three different sensory elements. And it's really interesting when we activate three sensory elements, the mind can't focus on anything else. All the mind is focusing on is doing those three things. And what it does is it means we don't have thoughts and we can just be present. We just receive. So what we do is we start paying attention to our breath. And maybe you just come and do this with me as well. So we just observe our breath just flowing in and out through our nose. I'm not trying to change it, just observing it. Then we start rubbing the tongue on the roof of our mouth very gently, very softly, at the same time as paying attention to our breath. So you're doing two sensations. You might notice, oh, I'm a little bit more focused. Then we start rubbing our thumb and our fingers very slowly, very softly together. At the same time as we're paying attention to your breath, rubbing the tongue on the roof of your mouth and rubbing your thumbs and your fingers. And what you might find now is like, I could yell at you and nothing happens. Like you didn't even phase then. You can also still hear me though. Hey, like you can take it all in. So it stops the ego, effectively creating a story. So this is a great one that I help people use in corporate meetings. You know how certain people just trigger you, your boss just triggers you. Just sit and do this. Like you can be doing this. Your boss could be yelling at you right now and they have no idea. You're in a ninja posture. Also when you get triggered by your partner, your kids. So that's another great circuit breaker. And I call that the concentration circuit breaker.
Wow. And doing that, for those like few seconds, 10 seconds or whatever, there was nowhere else for me to be. I couldn't focus on anything else. That was it. It was literally when you're thinking about those three things, especially the breath, I could not be anywhere else. And it was so true. I could still hear you, but I didn't really feel affected by it because my attention and awareness were on these other things.
Exactly. Wow. So you can see that we have choice. You don't have to be activated. And even the story that I'm an angry person, that's not true. Like I want to go back to your personal story. We get labeled as kids. Oh, that kid's a violent kid. That kid's an angry kid. That's a delinquent. No, every kid is a perfect example of consciousness. However, their environments create certain situations where they don't feel safe. So I came out and I was a giant love ball. Like just, I am what I am now. Like I was just happy, laughing. I just loved people. But then after enough events happening in my life where I started feeling, whoa, I can't trust the people who are meant to love me unconditionally. I don't feel safe. And if you get persecuted enough, you become a victim for a long time, but eventually the victim doesn't work for you anymore. So one way to do it is to become the aggressor. So I started using anger and aggression to fight back to the anger and the aggression that I was witnessing. And then I got labeled as a delinquent. And I nearly got put into, like, they tried to put me into like a delinquent institutions and everything like that. Was that really me? Like, look at me. Like everyone who has witnessed me and knows me, that's not who I am. However, that was a survival program that I used at that time. So we've got to be very careful about how we look at people and how we judge people. And this is the thing where people criticize addicts or criticize criminals. If you heard their story, you may have a very different perspective. And I can tell you, there's a lot of people, including myself, who could have ended up in jail if we just got caught for different things. And then our life could have been very different. The difference was, yes, I might be white for one. I might have grew up in a privileged environment. The same act, but we're coming from a same level of persecution. And that's why we just need to be very mindful and look at people for who they really are and realize that they didn't have choice. However, once you have awareness, that's when you do have choice. Right. And that's the thing. We shouldn't be persecuted for our actions when we weren't, when we were unconscious. We need to be held accountable, but not held like judged. This is the whole problem with a criminal situation in America. And I share this about my book. It's something I'm quite passionate about. But once we get caught and get held accountable, we need to be taken on a program to bring awareness of how this coding is creating these scenarios in our life. And then once we have that level of awareness, then yes, that's your responsibility. But until then, it's just very rough. And I just think people judge people so quickly and it's just really unfair.
I love that. So I could not agree more. I've had those thoughts to myself and I've kind of felt very alone in those thoughts. So thank you so much for articulating that so perfectly. Like you just said exactly what I've thought before in the most beautiful way. Because it is so true. It's like, if you, because based on your programming, where you grew up, if you're not aware of these things, you're not aware of them. Mm-hmm. And I love that you said too, right? Say that, that they shouldn't be judged, but they should be held accountable for them. Is that what it was?
Held accountable and educated and help bring awareness to their actions. And this is something which I do a lot in corporate culture. I help, there's a lot of like, what is a, I talk about these belief loops in my work, and our beliefs shape our thoughts, which then drive our behaviors, which then result in a feeling, which then reaffirms the belief cycle, because beliefs are formed by the strongest emotion and the beliefs are in our subconscious. So in companies have collective belief loops. There's like, these are the things that we stand for. This is how we should be thinking and this is how we should be behaving. This is how we should be feeling. And then a lot of the time we have challenges with team members. We're like, why do they keep doing this? That's a sign that perhaps they have a negative belief loop that is in conflict with your belief loop. And it doesn't matter how much you want for them, they're going to keep doing the same behavior because that's what humans do. We're repetitive beings. We're habitual beings. So you have a responsibility to bring awareness of them. And it's not that they're wrong. It's just you're helping them bring awareness to go, look, this is what we believe. And it seems like through your behaviors, this is what you believe. You're fully entitled to have that belief. However, that belief doesn't work in this company. So would you like help to recode that belief? Or is there somewhere else that you can align yourself with that belief? Suddenly, isn't that a beautiful situation? And people often go, wow, I had no idea. But the problem is we are so scared of conflict and we are so worried that, oh, they're going to think we're a bad person by bringing awareness to them. Instead, we just criticize, create all these stories, and then we end up letting them go out of the company through a bad way. Instead, our role is as leaders to bring this awareness to people and help them see. And that's ultimately what we're trying to do in life. And same with families. Rather than like yelling at your partner, how about helping them see the what's happening? Like bring awareness. And that's why coaches, therapists, group work is so powerful, because when the program's running, we're by nature, we're not looking outward, we're looking inward. We're looking at our own story, we're thinking. And when we're thinking, that's when the program's running and we can't be aware of what's happening out there. So we need a process and also just self-reflection. I journal a lot about, whoa, how did I show up today? What happened? What triggered me? That's curious. Why would something so small trigger me? What's happening for me? And then I can start seeing, oh, maybe I've activated a negative belief loop here.
You mentioned this now a few times, and I want to talk about this more for sure. I feel like one of the most powerful things that we can do to show up as our higher self, to show up in a place of love more often, to show up in less fear, in less separation, is to recode and to reprogram our subconscious mind. Mm-hmm. Because like we've been talking about, so often we're just on that loop of reprogramming of beliefs that most of the time weren't even ours. They were just fed to us. And now we're computer programs always, always, always on this loop over and over and over and over and over again. And first having the awareness that it is a subconscious programming, that you can actually change it. But then, Finian, how do you help people reprogram so that they can, I guess, first even be aware that this programming is happening? And then two, how can they actually reprogram it so that first initial subconscious thought is actually in the direction of where they want to go?
Yeah. So a few things. One, any transformation always starts with awareness. So helping them bring awareness, and we do this for a few ways. One is helping them reflect back on their life and going through a story. I have something called a love story where I get them to answer all these questions, then go through this chronological experience of their life, and we're looking for patterns. And people, when they answer these questions at the end, they think they know themselves, and then they look at this and went, oh, wow, I had no idea that this pattern has been running through my whole life. Because that's the thing, what happens. Life is not that, there isn't that much variables in life. We repeat the same thing over and over again. And different instances look very different, but it's actually the same experience. It's wanting us to integrate some form of emotion we didn't feel safe to do when we're younger. So that's the first bit. And talk therapy and everything like that can be good. The challenge is just knowing it and talking about it doesn't do anything. Consciously, you can have awareness and go, I don't want to be this way. Like consciously, most people want to be healthy. Most people want to be lean. Most people want to be kind to their partners. Like I would say that's a common connection of human things, but the evidence is the opposite. Most of us aren't being like that. And that tells me that conscious awareness, the intellect knowing isn't enough. Intellect understanding of how this can work isn't enough. And this is why talk therapy can actually do a lot of damage to people. Because actually what it does is it repeats the story. It makes the story stronger. And then we become even more of a victim in it. So there's no point even entering through that way. We have to enter through the subconscious, because 95% of our daily behaviors are run by the subconscious, because most of the time we are absorbed by our thinking, and most of our thinking thoughts are negative. So most of our daily behaviors are pretty negative. So we need to get in and recode the subconscious. How do we access the subconscious? The subconscious doesn't know time and space. It just happens to be right now. It's in the quantum world. It's just now. So something that happened 30 years ago feels like it's happening right now. And that's why one of the most dangerous sayings out there is time heals. Everyone loved to use that when I was getting my divorce and everything. They went, oh, it's okay, time heals. And I sat there and I went, something feels off with that. Because I was starting to connect the dots of my past, that an event that happened 20 years ago was actually the cause of what was happening right now. If time heals, why wasn't I feeling better? If time heals, why is it that so many of us are in therapy with mommy and daddy issues? Time doesn't heal. Time suppresses. It suppresses in the subconscious and it gets it out of mind, but actually compounds. It compounds the problem. So what does heal? Energy. The subconscious knows energy. That's all it knows. It doesn't know time. It knows energy. And energy is suppressed through a negative feeling that we didn't feel safe to feel, which then creates a negative belief. So the only way to dislodge suppressed energy is to put more energy into it. It's a simple formula. Like we've got to, like whatever amount of force has been put in to build something, we have to put greater force in order to break it. So we have to go into our subconscious and use different energy, I call them energy interventions, to dislodge the emotion there. And ultimately what we're trying to do is feel what we didn't feel we could before. So things like breath work, a very upregulated breath. In 20 minutes, we can recode a whole program. It could be contrast therapy. It could be going into sensory deprivation, like I did a darkness retreat for a week, or a silent meditation where you're actually going in and you're changing the energetic equilibrium of what's happening. And then we can release it. But then it's very important. It's not good enough to release it. We have to put new good code in, because it's the code that determines everything. The code determines the outcome of your life. So you've got to make sure that you're putting the code in, because every day you're getting coded. The subconscious is open 24 hours, 7 days a week, just absorbing. And with the amount of impressions that are happening through media, education, society, it's getting bombarded. So we've got to protect it and go, all right, I'm putting new code in and then I'm going to protect it. The conscious mind has to be the gatekeeper and protect the subconscious, which is the feminine. Just like you knew when you made a baby, made the baby together, but then the feminine did all the creation. Like that's the subconscious. The feminine, we don't know. I'm like, how? Incredible. And she didn't need to know how. She just intuitively knew. It just happened. However, you had to protect her. You had to make sure that she was getting good food. Also, when you have certain views, and I know this because I'm going through it myself, you have certain views about pregnancy or bringing up kids, and then there's a lot of other people who want to project your views, their views onto you. So you got to make sure you protect yourself so you don't question yourself with those people. That's the example of how the conscious mind needs to protect the subconscious.
I love you so much, man. I'm just really loving everything you're talking about. Thank you for this paradigm shift of time heals all wounds. That just completely made me think about that in a totally different way. Because it's true. It's not time. Because if you're still in that state from that thing 20 years ago, that's never going to change. It's always time has nothing to do with it. Because that's the state that you're in. And that's the energy and the programming that is just deep within you. Time doesn't matter. That will always be there unless you do the work to change it.
Exactly. And yes, time, and there's always truth to any saying. Yes, there might be time where you can have enough time to look at it from a different perspective, but that is still an active role. It's not just letting it just go to the wayside. You're actually like doing something there.
Like everything, it's both, right? It's not just and, or it's not or, it's always and, it's always both. Incredible. Dude, let's talk about the book real quick. So I know when this episode releases, the book will have come out the day before. So it's like really great timing. It's called Intentionality, A Groundbreaking Guide to Breath, Consciousness, and Radical Transformation. So I know we've touched on a few things that you've mentioned that are in the book. But what do you want, I don't want to say want, but for you, Finian, when you release this book into the world, what is your intention or your hope that people will get from this? Like, what are you trying to put out to help people with?
Yeah, I want it to be, in one simple way, an operating system of who you are and how to create a life more of peace, love, and joy. And you can have also, you can use this to create abundance, freedom, whatever you want. It's a universal law. I spent 20 years of my life like focusing, driving, and I was very intellectual, and I found the limitations of that. Then I went through a 7-year deep spiritual journey, understanding how the mind works, getting to know myself, reading every single spiritual, religious text out there and looking for the truths, for the commonalities. And I was very thankful that I was able to distill all the different information to get to where I am right now. And I can promise you, like I have a very different experience of life right now. Not everyone has the luxury to take 7 years to do this. Like I literally tapped out of the world for 7 years to just go on this deep exploration. And I was committed and it was exhausting. And I realized, oh, how much better would it be if someone could just pick up a book and literally just go through the process. And from people who have read it, it really is this. It's a portal. There's so many different portals you can enter this book through. Doesn't matter where you're at. You could be really stuck, like completely lost in life, and it'll help you. You could also be where I was, where you'd achieved massive material success and all these things, but you weren't satisfied and you were going, is there more? So that'd be another one. It could also be in a place where you were realizing, wow, I keep doing these behaviors which aren't serving me. Like, this isn't who I want to be. How do I break free of this? How do I release myself of this? And it will help you. And it's written from as you can see, I share a lot of my personal stories. I'm not preaching to you. I'm very like vulnerable. I'm here. I keep reading my own book and going, oh, that's right. I'm going through this right now. Like I literally had one last week where my ego had tricked me into thinking that everything mattered about being a bestseller. And it was really weird because I was confused. I went, I don't really feel like I care about this. Why is this affecting me so much? And I realized what I do want is massive impact. I would love this to be in everyone's hands because this would mean that they can get out of the matrix and they can have agency and they don't have to live the life they want. And then I associated, my ego went, oh, this is an opportunity to trick you, gets very cunning, and went, well, I'm going to associate that in order to have impact, you have to be a bestseller the first week. So suddenly I had all this pressure. So, and then I was sharing this to my mastermind, my group, and someone said something and I went, oh, wow, I wrote a book all about this. prioritize feelings over outcomes. Maybe I need to come back. So here I am, like, sharing this, and I'm still corruptible. I'm still there. But the beautiful thing is the mind is malleable, and you can really transform yourself. So that's why I'm there. And I promise you, if you read this, and it's got live exercises throughout, which are very easy, your life will change. And it might change slowly, and that's beautiful, that's okay. Or before you know it, you might not even recognize yourself in a year. That's my commitment to you. And I'd love to hear from your audience about, like, what resonated, what worked, and personal experience, because we learn from personal experiences. That's what I'm trying to do here. Is I've gone down a path. Maybe you don't have to take that path, because you actually can learn from my experiences. Go, thank you, Finian. That was the path I thought I wanted. Actually, I see the fragility in that. I'm going to go step that next path. That would be the greatest gift for me.
Yes, love that. It's using your hardship, the trauma, that difficult experience. You're just taking that, funneling that as a vortex for other people to come through, so that they don't have to go through all that as well. So they can just be given some sort of a new perspective or awareness, so they don't need to go through all the craziness.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe they do end up going, but they have a different perspective of it. So they might go in and go, oh, wow, this is actually my transformational moment. Like, I talk about that now. When I see people who are going through divorce or have lost a bunch of money or going through health issue, I lean in and I get excited. And they're like, what's happening? I went, oh, this is your moment. Like, save this, because everything is about to fall down. All the paradigms are about to be released, and you have the opportunity to break free. I don't know if I'll ever get that again, because I won't be so lost. I won't be at rock bottom, because I just have a different perspective on life. I feel like I could lose everything right now and I wouldn't be back to that place. So savor that, those dark moments. They're beautiful.
Yes. And like everything in the universe, it's both. They can be really dark and hard and eat you up and take you to some really low places. It can also be the beautiful catalyst that takes you to a place you could have never gone to before.
Definitely.
Dude, and I appreciate so much your vulnerability and your openness, because so many people, if you write a book, you're like, I've got it all figured out, now go read it. But to sit there and be like, because we're all doing this. It's like so many times where I'm saying something or I'm writing something down, it's like, that's for me as well too. Everything I say in this podcast is for me. Sometimes I'll say things and I'll right after be like, hey guys, like I've experienced this too. Cause I don't want anyone ever thinking it's like, I'm like, hey guys, I got it all figured out. Listen to me now. Whenever I say anything, they're gentle reminders for myself, because I need them just as much as anyone else needs them. And for you to use your own book as your own gentle reminder to remind you of these things that you know deep in your soul that you may forget in moments here and there is just an awesome thing to share.
Yeah. And I like that. Like, I coach people, and a lot of the time it's not me coaching them. I'm just a channel for presence to come through, access to the universal mind. So things will come through and we're in a dialogue, and yes, they need to hear it. But at the same time, I'm observing myself and going, oh, I needed to hear that too. It's a beautiful gift. And that changes the experience of where we have to think, oh, I have to give them so much information. Just allow the information to come through.
You know, it's interesting as you were saying that too, you know, in the beginning of like the journey of spirituality, I really thought that at one point I'll get to this place where I'm good. I'm going to know everything. I'm going to move through effortlessly. But I'm realizing as we get to these next levels or next stages or next parts of it, those things are still there. Like the ego will still show up. The unconscious program, it'll still show up there. And now you're just handling it in a different way than you did before. But there's, you know what I mean? It's still there. Yeah.
Yeah. The idea that we can dissolve our ego and get rid of it, it's not true. It's a lie. And it's actually a false paradigm that we keep trying to destroy our ego. And by the nature of that, we're trying to destroy ourselves. Yes. Instead of just acknowledging, oh, I see you. I see the immaturity of you, the lack of knowledge. And the ego, and it's not an enemy. It's also protected us in a lot of ways. Like, I'm very grateful that my younger self formed an ego that then created a story that it couldn't trust and couldn't feel safe, because it couldn't at that time. And to comprehend that you didn't get what you needed would be too much. My mind wasn't able to comprehend that, oh, maybe it wasn't really about you. It was just my parents' own conditioning. That was too much. So I'm grateful for the ego. However, any program will, based on fear, will always come crashing down. So that's the role of coming conscious, becoming an adult, maturing, is to go, all right, what worked for me may not work for me anymore. And I need to release that. And that's one of the hardest parts of the journey, because we go, we get fearful, because then the ego tricks us again. It says, oh, if you let go of this, you're not going to be successful anymore. It's a lie. Like, it's not like you lose all your experience. You now just can do it from a different approach. And that's why a key intention of intentionality is choose love over fear, because it is a conscious decision. You can't be in love and fear at the same place. And we need to be doing that more in the corporate world as well. And love is not a soft feeling. Love is the most active, powerful, strong feeling we can ever feel. And when we get into that place, we get energized and we can able to go do so much more. And just straight productivity. Like, I talk about high performing teams. That's what I talk about for big corporates. None of my stuff is like out there spiritual. It's true that you can have both. You can look after your people and create a good environment and make more money. That's the amazing thing. You can do this. And that's what I'm sharing, is if you apply these mechanisms instead of operating from the ego, you will be super successful. And I'm just honest. That's what corporates want. Every corporate wants more money for less, more profit. So I'm just going to say that's what I'm promising you. I'm doing that. But you also don't have to hurt people to do that.
That's like the big misconception. If you're loving and kind, you're weak and you're going to fail and you won't make money, where it's the complete opposite. When you can come from a place of love, not fear, come from a place of caring about each other, being transparent, being vulnerable, that is truly how I feel like you could have the absolute most success compared to the other side. It's like not even close.
Exactly.
My man, this has been an amazing conversation. I have so much love for you. I was excited coming in, and I'm just like even just through the roof with just the wisdom you're sharing, your perspectives, everything like that. It's just so beautiful. And then Finian, I want to ask you the question I ask every single guest. So like just Justin in this human form this time around, what makes me just feel great and fulfilled and beautiful is through this podcast, through the Spread Love Movement page, but most importantly, through my actions and how I show up every single day. I'm here to, it's not that I'm here to do this thing. It's what brings me the most joy, right? I don't know if it's my purpose. I don't think it's something I have to do, because I don't know if we have to do anything. It's what brings me most joy, is helping shift the collective consciousness of the planet to one that's more loving, kind, peaceful, open, vulnerable, empathetic. In a few words, a consciousness that is one.
Mm-hmm.
So my man, how do you feel like every single day you are helping contribute to this sort of a shift of consciousness?
How do I feel from it?
How do you feel like every day you are helping contribute to that sort of a shift?
Great question. So in the Alchemist, which is one of my favorite books, they talk about your personal legend. Like why is it that you're brought into this world? And it's not something to seek out. It naturally is already who you are. And I worked out mine is to help guide people to find their way by returning them back to a path of love. And that's what I do every day. I'm very focused on, am I in a loving field and can I impact another person? Whether it's just smiling to someone on the street, doing something kind, telling people that I love them, showing up as a partner, that's really all we need to do. And the way I do that, and this is the key, is I'm focusing on how do I give love to myself each day. That's my number one priority, because the amount of love I can give others is limited by the amount of love I can give myself. So that's a daily practice to me, is what's the love I need to give myself today?
Mm-hmm. How do you feel like in moments, you know, when you want to show up as that loving version of yourself, but you feel for whatever reason, based on your thoughts, your vibration in that moment, that you are not that version of yourself? I love that practice of self-love, but like, what are some practices or things that you do to help bring you back towards that place of love so that you can show up to your partner, to the people around you, to your clients, to these organizations that you're helping? Like, how do you help realign yourself back to that when you're not in that place?
I have a few practices, and I always want to lean back onto what has been provided with us. So one is nature. When I'm in nature, I get reflected my beauty back by the beauty of the nature. So I have that experience. I ground. I put my feet in the earth and I allow the electromagnetic field to flow through me and I release that energy and it reminds me who I am. Sun in the eyes just gives me that energy. Then I activate the breath. I come back to the breath and I use conscious breath to drop into the present moment. I remind myself that I'm alive and I'm here and I'm a kind person. So they're really big practices that I'll do myself. But sometimes I also, another way is I'll let the other person know. I'm going through a challenging time right now. I want to be able to show up and love you right now, but this is what's going on for me. And that creates a little bit of connection. And it shows my vulnerability, which is love. Also gives them a chance to give me some love back. And that's an incredible thing. Another thing I'd do is just go and give hugs. By the nature of oxytocin can't tell the difference between coming and going. So if you want love, go give love. So I'll go give a hug. And then it naturally feels better and we feel warmer and just it's easier than talking sometimes.
That was beautiful, man. Your response to that question was awesome. These tools that you use, it's so helpful. And thank you for just even saying the fact that, hey, if I'm not in that place right now, I can be honest to this person and tell them where I'm feeling because thank you for that. Because my mind just goes to be love, be love, be love. Like show up in that way, show up in that way. Do what you got to do. Go do the breath work. Go do whatever you have to do to show up in that way. But there is another beautiful option where you can still show up how you're feeling and just be vulnerable and honest about it.
Yeah. And that came through a learned experience. I didn't always do this. However, because my energy is so strong and it's intoxicating, people love it. People get used to it. And when I'm not at the highest vibration, guess what happens? What do you think happens in that moment?
People view you probably in a certain way. They may wonder where you're at. Why are you feeling good? Why is Finian acting in a certain way? Because they have this thought of who you're supposed to be. And when you don't show up that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Very close. But we make it about ourselves because that's what we do. Humans, all we do is make it about ourselves. So they're going, what have I done? Like, does he not like me? Like this happens all the time. This has happened in Burning Man camps where I'm like, didn't give someone the energy they expected. And then they made all these stories about what they've done. And I'm just like, oh no, I'm just having a chill moment. Like I'm just looking after myself. So sometimes I like to turtle. And one of my good friends, Brent Freeman, helped me see that, all right, just tell me when you're turtling. Like, just let me know, oh, you're just turtling in. So I just tell them, like, everyone just turtling now. Nothing about you. And then they can go, oh, they don't have to get into their story at all. So that's been a way we can help each other as well.
Beautiful, man. I felt that before. That's a great way to kind of term that and use that to say, hey, I'm going to use it like, hey, I'm turtling. Because I'll have the same experience. I am usually very up and high and energetic and social. And when I'm not in moments, I do. I feel like people are looking at me like, what's up, man? Like, what's wrong with you right now? What's going on? And I'm sure they are playing the same things in their mind too. That'll happen with my wife sometimes. I notice that too, where if I'm just like focused on something else or down, she'll look at me. She's like, is everything okay? And I'm like, and I kind of now realizing that she's probably having similar thoughts like that of, oh my God, like, what did I do? Is he mad at me? And things like that. And that transparency is huge there because I don't ever want her to think that she did something wrong. She's so beautiful and amazing in every way. And I don't ever want her to think and to take that weight onto herself of, oh my God, what did I do wrong? Did I not do this before? Did it, like, why is he angry at me? So just honestly being more transparent with how I'm feeling in those moments so that other people don't take on the weight of thinking they did something wrong.
Exactly. It just saves them energy. It's exhausting thinking. So just releasing them of that burden.
Thank you, buddy. That was awesome. Thank you. All right, bud, before we close things out, if you can let people know where they can find you online, social media, where they can get your book for sure, that would be great.
All right, so the best place to go to would be intentionality.com. And that way you'll see it's in every retailer, but you'll also learn about it. And you also can get access to the app as well, which takes you through the practical exercises. And then my social is The Finian Kelly. So you just search Finian Kelly and I'll come up and I'd love to hear from you. My biggest thing is I just want to hear what stood out to you. And if you like wanted to do a post or a testimony or a review, talk about your experience. That's the greatest gift because that is what life is about. It's about your experience and we can all learn from your experience.
Amazing. Dude, I appreciate you so much. The work that you're doing, the journey that you've gone through in order to get here. You know, I'm grateful for you for having that experience before. I'm grateful that you went through all that hard time and that struggle. I love the fact too that when people are in a dark time, it's not being empathetic to the darkness, but also being excited for them. Like, yes, what's happening? You know what I mean? Like, I love that energy so much. And dude, everyone listening too, please, like, it's beautiful when guests come on and they're like, reach out to me. Like, ask me questions. Tell me how you're feeling. Like, so that you can use those things to better serve the world and better serve your clients and other people. So like, I always say this with everybody. Like, if you have any inclination to reach out to Finian, like, this is it. Don't push that away. Don't suppress that. Let this be like, okay, this is it. If you're having that feeling, that's because you, not that you're supposed to, but this is a good sign for you to move in that direction for sure.
And we respond. We care about every single person. It's really important to us. And yeah, just loving, love is love. That's the thing. Like, I laugh when people talk about conditional and unconditional love. Love can't have conditions. It's love. So love every moment. Love the challenges. Love the darkness. Love your faults. All of it. It's just love.
Love it. Beautiful. What an amazing way to end. Dude, I can't tell you how much I really do truly appreciate you. Thank you so much for coming on here and just sharing the space and sharing your wisdom. I have so much love for you, man. I'm so excited just to see how the book does. I'm going to check it out myself for sure. And just to see what you continue to do, how you continue to help the conscience of the planet. Appreciate you.
Thanks for creating such a beautiful space for love, Justin. I really appreciate you. And I'm glad that you're in my life now.
Yes. Me too, man. Everybody, we love you so much. Literally, life is love. Just in every moment, just do what you can. Take those incremental steps towards love. Doesn't always need to be this big leap towards it. If that seems like it's too much, it's okay. Little bit by little bit, just take those little steps. Because life is love. Love is love. When we come from that perspective, more often than we don't, life is beautiful. It is an amazing place to be. All right, everybody. Can't wait to see you next time. Thank you again for being here with me and Finian and sharing the space. Love you. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode of the podcast, please like, follow, share, subscribe, whatever you can do to help share this with the world. We put a lot of energy, effort, and time into creating this beautiful podcast with these incredible guests to help bring more awareness to the love that exists all around us. So if you can help spread some love, we'd really appreciate it. Love you.